Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
I'm sorry that Purdue lost. I'm sorry that I would have rathered Indiana State. They lost. I'm sorry I would have rathered Iowa. They lost. It wasn't a good couple of days for basketball. But if I feel good about anything, it's that a lot of bars and a lot of restaurants made a crap ton of money yesterday, and I can feel good about that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. I am. It stinks. It does. And I knew I'd be asleep. I knew I'd be gone. I did not stay up for the game. But can someone fill me in? Because I've only seen little drips and drabs of what a freak show UConn's coach is screaming at. Was he screaming at Purdue players? Like, was he trying to get under a Zach Edey's skin? Can someone explain that story? Let me know on X right there. Tony Katz is where you find me. I've only seen drips and drabs of it. I mean, during the game, to their credit, the Indy Star literally had an article, "What is with this guy?" Basically what it said. And it was all about social media reaction, which is not, it is pretty much lazy journalism. But in this case, it was somewhat interesting. But of course, yesterday was the eclipse, which lived up to the hype. The weather was perfect. Perfect. Not good. Not great. Not exceptional. But perfect. That's what it was. Then, the actual cloud cover. Whatever high clouds there were did nothing, in my view, to obstruct anything for those of us in at least central Indiana. And then the movies don't do it justice. You've seen what that looks like, the perfect corona around it when the moon is in front of the sun, and you're like, that's pretty groovy in a movie. To see it happen, to feel the temperature decrease, to all of a sudden witness the darkness and then realize how the light comes back, and how you can actually, for just a brief few seconds, stare at the sun while the moon is still moving and it's making what's known as third contact. That is, first contact is when the edge of the moon hits the edge of the sun. Second contact is when the moon is in front of the sun. The third contact is when the moon starts moving out from in front of the sun, hits the edge there. That's the third contact. And the fourth contact is when it moves completely away from the sun, and the last part of the moon is, quote-unquote, touching the sun. That's called fourth contact. And the moon moves, in my case, to the left. Moving to the left, and the light just starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And then there's a moment you can't look at it anymore, but there's a couple of seconds there where even if you weren't wearing the glasses, which, of course, I would never recommend, you could see it. You could see that light grow. That no movie has been able to replicate. That was not AI, people. Well, this all could be a simulation, so it could totally be AI. But that is not AI, people. That was amazing. Lived up to the hype. And if you haven't seen some of the videos from Monument Circle, well, the videos from the track are excellent. From the Speedway, they're great. The videos from downtown, people, they were working or they were doing whatever, and they were on the circle. They were on the steps, and, you know, Hammer and Nigel were out there, but they're on the steps, and they're watching this thing. There's a few hundred people just hanging out, sitting down, watching. Very cool. We have those videos on the WIBC Facebook page. Absolutely worth checking out as the totality comes. And I didn't know this would happen. Literally everywhere, when it took place, people started cheering. I was not expecting the round of applause. Good work, God! Oh, that's amazing. Did you see what God did? That's unbelievable. Try that at church one day. See how that goes. Good work! Nicely done. There it is. Producer Carl's with me. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Joe Biden getting lots of pushback for student loan repayments, which the Supreme Court said you can't do. And he's like I even care. Because he does not in any way, shape, or form care. Just doesn't. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. I will get into more of that coming up in a little bit. And also, Canada is over. I promise to get to that in just a bit. But yesterday, I brought up what many would consider the troubling subject of Dearborn, Michigan. And that Muslim Americans now have to contend with an issue, which is Muslims in Dearborn saying the Ayatollah is right. Israel is an imperialist, settler, colonialist, whatever the Marxism term is of the day. And very outward support for destroying Israel, killing Jews, and then destroying America. The videos, the rallies, they have to answer for this. That sucks, right? I don't have to answer for something some fool says at a Trump rally. But yet I'm told every day I've got to answer for it. So, I don't know. These are the rules. These are the rules. And here are people calling for the destruction of America because, of course, that's the goal. Anybody who thinks this is about Israel, as we've discussed many times, isn't, you know, focused on the issue. Now, this is going to bring us to also a really gross conversation from Jon Stewart. There's something happens that when you stay on the East Coast and you get rich, you really do lose your soul. You lose your ability to engage properly. Jon Stewart wants to tell you that what he is saying is about caring and Israel being the issue in fighting this war against Hamas, which murdered 1,200 Israelis and others and took women hostage and raped women. And now Lord only knows if there are any hostages left. And maybe that's why Hamas has never been willing to come up with a deal, because they have no ability to return hostages because they've already killed the hostages if they're not still just raping hostages. That's what's happening. That, but you see what Israel's doing, and then John Stewart is wagging his finger, and if you know, if he wags his finger, an angel gets its wings or something. I don't know what happens when he wags his finger. He wags it and says, "They paid me so much money for the Daily Show, and I only do it one day a week now, but that makes me culturally relevant." And obviously it does, because here I am talking about his nonsense. I don't know what they're going to say when he shows up at synagogue. But on this conversation, that this is what's happening in Dearborn. Chanting, yelling, death to America, never mind death to Israel, and a belief that we need to upend the system. Because it was never just about Israel. It's about destruction and destruction of Western civilization. Not because I said so, but because they said so. When poll after poll after poll in Gaza comes out, that shows that the people of Gaza, the quote-unquote Palestinian people, support Hamas, what is one supposed to do except believe you? This from Hot Air. That polling shows that only 1 in 4 British Muslims believe that Hamas committed murder and rape on October 7th. This is a poll from the Henry Jackson Society. 46% of British Muslims sympathize with Hamas. Now, this is what needs to be taken back to John Stewart. And I'll share that with you coming up and ask John Stewart. I'll ask it in very Daily Show style. 46% of British Muslims sympathize with Hamas. Hey, John. What do you think sympathize means? Like that's a very John Stewart. And he put his finger to his lips like he was a coy little girl. Thank goodness there's no video camera in here. Honestly, we thought about live streaming the morning show. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's because I don't need that. I don't. But maybe if I did that, maybe I'd make John Stewart money. 46% sympathize with Hamas. Sympathize with. Not, well, I can see why they're angry, but. No, not that. Sympathize. John Stewart must really think that being in New York just makes him super safe. I could walk down the street just being a Jew and no one's going to punch me. Ow! Oh, crap, someone punched me. That is a crazy way to live. By the way, producer Carl, if that doesn't make a promo, we are doing this station a great disservice. Can I just say that? Just putting that out there. 52% of Muslims in Britain want to make it illegal to show a picture of the Prophet Muhammad. 32% want to see Sharia law implemented in the UK. Okay. All right. Well. I bring this up because it is very obvious that in places in the UK, although I haven't seen data about places in the United States, although I haven't seen data fully about the United States, and clearly in the UK, there is an issue. There's a problem. There is an obviousness to a radicalness that is simply incapable and unwilling to mesh with Western culture and Western civilization, and the fight's here. Do I think this is true of every Muslim? Of course not. That's insane. But I've got 46% in Britain. If I had 46% in the United States, I would call that a major problem. Major, major problem. Anybody who would actually want to institute Sharia law is a danger to themselves and others. Everything about Sharia law is holy and utterly violent. No freedom, no say-so. By the way, the people who hold up the signs and say queers for Palestine, just letting you know, when the Sharia takes over, if it was just Sharia for a week, you would be an unhappy person. I don't know if you'd be an alive person at the end of the week if it was Sharia for a week. Just Sharia for a week. Dear God. So we have an issue, and people are going to be desperately afraid to talk about it for fear of being called an Islamophobe or whatever else. I ain't worrying. We've got a problem. Radicals who now want to co-opt Marxists and work with the Marxists to put an end to Western civilization, and then don't worry, Marxists. The Sharia people, they're going to put an end to you. You know that, right? There's a reason you're a useful idiot.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The jailed illegal immigrant is not happy. And for the record, it's illegal immigrant, not undocumented. I know a lot of people out there want to use the term undocumented, but that is very offensive to American citizens and people who have worked to become part of this country. It's unfathomable to me. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. That there are people out there who will go on such the attack, wanting to call them such derogatory terms as undocumented, that somehow this is a conversation of paperwork. It's so insulting to people who have worked the system, and the system could use some serious refining, and want to be a part of the United States. It's such an insult to them that there are people out there, usually on the political left, who want to scream that you shouldn't have to go through a system. We should just provide paperwork to people, and that's enough. It's so gross. You see what I did there? I feel good about that. These people are like, "You, no person is illegal. How dare you?" Yeah. Illegal immigrant is the proper terminology. It's the only terminology, and the people who don't use that terminology are absolutely looking to hurt you. Now you know. Well, there was one guy that people got a faceful of. This dude who was on TikTok flashing tons of cash saying, "Here's how you take over somebody's house," this whole squatter conversation. And then the people over there in Immigration and Customs Enforcement started looking for him, and he makes these videos where he's holding on to a baby and he's crying and like snot's coming out of his nose, like the angriest looking human being. But I don't even know if the dude is legit, not legit. But he was on the run, and then he got arrested. He got arrested, and now he's saying, as he's in jail, that he is a victim of an unjust persecution. "I came here to the United States because of persecution in my country, but they're doing the same thing to me in the United States, persecuting me." My advice is go somewhere else. I mean, if you're getting persecuted here, maybe go elsewhere. Maybe go. You know what? Go to Iran and tell me how the persecution goes, if you would. "It's all misinformation in the media about me. They're defaming me. They're misrepresenting me in the news." We have the videos. But good on you. Good on you. Seriously, if you're being persecuted, this must be a terrible place. And if you think that you're being persecuted, can you imagine how those people who got arrested for doing nothing wrong on January 6th feel? Oh, I said the people who did nothing wrong. Some people may have done something wrong, but plenty of people did nothing wrong. maybe not access to their lawyers, maybe not access to medical care, maybe being kept in solitary confinement. You know, all the things that America doesn't do. Oh, we do it to people who support Trump. Gotcha. Gotcha. That's great. That's great. But guaranteed, the people who scream the bigotry of undocumented will tell you that what's happening to this guy is terrible. What's happening to American citizens? Totally fine. Oh, that is some backwards crap right there. I think that's the correct terminology for it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, the NAIA, made the move. And the move is the right one. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The Council of Presidents for the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, the NAIA, have unanimously approved a ban on transgender athletes in women's sports. Right. I didn't know you would have to, you know, clap your hands for such a thing. I didn't know we'd actually have to discuss such a thing. But then again, I didn't know how much bigotry was out there in the world. Can you imagine people being okay with men pretending to be women and then participating and competing against women in sports and wanting to change in locker rooms with them? The abuse of such a thing. I mean, who would have imagined that that could be the world that we live in and that people would be okay with it and cheer it? And they'd say, we're from this organization, that organization. You have to accept these men who say they're women and lie to yourself, and you have to lie to them, and you have to allow them to lie to others, and you have to smile while you do it. Who knew that that world would actually occur? My God, can we at least address how absolutely disgusting these people are? I'm not talking about the people who have a mental illness and think that they are another sex. No, 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 no. No, gender dysphoria is discussed in the diagnostic manual for the American Psychiatric Association, something known as DSM-5, the fifth edition. That's real. But the people cheering them on, and the people telling you to lie to yourself and accept their lies, and the people who want to tell women in sports just lay back and take it and accept the fact that you won't be on the team, those are awful people. They're disgusting. Disgusting, immoral, amoral people. And when I say they, I mean liberal white women. I'm talking to you, Boone County. Good morning, boo-boo. That's right. That's right. As you prepare your daughter breakfast, I am talking to you that you're preparing the breakfast for the daughter that you clearly hate by supporting the idea that men can say they're women and compete in sports and change in the same locker room and use the same bathroom. That's right at you, kitten. Look. That's right. That's right. Calling you kitten is the sexist part. Sure. Okay. No problem. Can I just say, as a side, I think I might be in a mood this morning. I don't know. I think like you, I have reached my moment of exhaustion. And I think I've been coming on this for a while. My problem is I've been angry about it. I don't know if that is showed. Like there are moments, right? We all have moments. But you, one of the key rules in radio is you don't want to be angry. I learned this early from doing the show. You're angry. Right. So follow me here. This is how you view it. Producer Carl can confirm this. The job of me is to engage the conversations, but it is not ever to be the guy who is somehow more outraged about it than you. Because I'm at work, right? I'm at my job. You're getting ready for work and you've got all these things going on in your life and you got to go deal with the traffic, and Matt Bear helps you with that. And you got to deal with the ridiculous boss. You got to do the thing. You're the one I'm concerned with. You don't, your job is not to be concerned with whether or not I'm angry. I'm concerned with your anger. And I never want to be the guy who's somehow more angry or more bothered than you. This was explained to me in a text message. I've been with the station almost June, end of June will be 10 years. and which is crazy, right? And so it was like my first year. I think it was my first year, maybe second year. I was at the station and my computer didn't work. I've told this story before. My computer was not working. And the tech people hadn't fixed it and I was complaining about it. And I received a text from my program director that, paraphrasing, said, shut the blank up. And the point he was making is, everybody you're talking to, Tony, yeah, you see, their computer doesn't work, and their car isn't working, and somewhere they had a fight with their spouse this morning, and they really don't need to hear about your computer problems while you're sitting down just chit-chatting. And he was right. So I never try to be more angry than you. But I've definitely, on the subject of this madness of these groups in Indianapolis and other places, we're standing up for these poor people, marginalized people. No, no, you're not. You are hateful as hell and you hate women and it's totally weird and you should stop doing it. You freaks, stop hating women. Well, the council presidents for the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, they get it. Approving this ban on transgender athletes in women's sports, meaning men in women's sports. Only athletes assigned as female at birth will be eligible to compete. You see, even that I have an issue with. Assigned by who? The doctor or God? You tell me which assignment you're going with. We know there are a lot of different opinions out there. For us, we believed our first responsibility was to create fairness and competition in the NAIA. We also think it aligns with the reasons Title IX was created. You're allowed to have separate but equal opportunities for women to compete. Oh, we'll get to the whole separate but equal thing later in Title IX later. But happy to see this. Happy to see this. And for the people upset about it, my God, you shouldn't be that hateful. Think of yourself as a morning radio host. Stop being so angry. Oh, and stop being wrong. That would also be great. See, something us radio hosts don't have to worry about.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I don't know if you've been following the story of America's worst mayor. This woman is a show. And when I say show, she's disgusting and should be thrown out of office by her constituents. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Her name is Tiffany Henyard, H-E-N-Y-A-R-D. And what she has done as mayor is she has reconfigured a series of laws and rules and regulations that she gets paid some astronomical sum, but if somebody else gets elected, they get paid much, much less. I need somebody to do my hair. I have to pay for that. I need a security detail. I need this. I need the other thing. And if you should ask any question about what she's doing, you're a racist. And the town has had enough of this. And she's like, I can't believe you're going after a black woman like this. It's nutty. It is absolutely nutty. So now there is an investigation of what this mayor is doing by the board of trustees of this town. They call it a village, right? Different terms mean different things. Who did they hire? Lori Lightfoot, the former mayor of Chicago. The terrible former mayor of Chicago is who this village of Dalton, it's called, D-O-L-T-O-N, this is who they hired to take a look at this mayor, Tiffany Henyard, who's been accused of embezzling taxpayer funds and retaliating against a victim of sexual assault. Wouldn't allow any investigations. This is who they hired. That is spectacular. Absolutely spectacular, people. The country is just nuts. It really is. To see Purdue not win at all, losing to UConn 75-60. UConn goes back to back. I would love to hear. I didn't watch the game. I was asleep. I passed out early. I was away for a few days. Didn't get much sleep there, and needed the rest. And that's the way it was going to go. A game that starts at 9:20. I do morning radio. Come on, it's not even fair. But I heard that the UConn coach was a real scumbag, and I've seen these posts. I just want confirmation, or should I be like, no, it's just some people angry that Purdue lost. So someone let me know this. And then it has begun on Facebook Marketplace. A bravo to the family here who has done this. On Facebook Marketplace, there is a listing. Vintage 2024 Eclipse glasses. Only used once from a non-smoking home. $100. Bless you. Bless you. This in Noblesville is where this listing is from. That's spectacular. That is absolutely terrific. I'm going to send that over to the boys in the newsroom. That's a story. That story. You know what? I'm just going to send it to producer Carl. Producer Carl will post it. Someone's going to spend it, right? Someone is going to spend the money, aren't they? People are funny. They make me laugh. It's a picture of the glasses. Vintage. You people. It's never not wonderful. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Today, I will explain how Jon Stewart has lost his soul. It has to come from the money, right? There comes a moment where you're just not as hungry. There comes a moment where you have too many rich friends. That has to be it. We see this in music. Right? You take someone like Springsteen or somebody else, and they're singing about the hard times, and they're really strong on these subjects, and feel the pain. And then there's a moment you just get to so much money where there's no pain left to have. And so the mind gets, I think, lost. That must be it. I have no other way to explain it. I mean, except age might make people soft, which I think we've seen before, whether it's in our own parents or in other people. But good God, I'll break the Jon Stewart thing down for you. As he's talking about Israel, it's so beyond the pale. And what he is arguing for, that he's getting cheered, is imperialism, which is so crazed. that this is what the left is cheering him for. I will get to that on Tony Katz today at noon. I also will get into more of Joe Biden's debt. Oh, Joe Biden. Yeah, sure. The Supreme Court said that I can't pay off people's student loan debt. But you know what I think?
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us. And the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments.
They really don't like the fact that you have an issue paying for somebody else's degree in gender studies or puppetry. Oh, how dare you! If I'm going to pay for someone's degree, I want to say in what they major in. And considering that the gender studies people end up being in HR, and HR clearly has biases, we should really be rethinking HR departments. We also need to be on the subject of DEI. I don't remember if I had this yesterday or the day before. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Oh, gosh. Sorry. There is a lawsuit taking place at Arizona State University, my alma mater. I didn't graduate. Is it still your alma mater if you didn't graduate? Nah. They've never asked me for money, so maybe not my alma mater. Maybe they don't want to admit it. Maybe I don't want to admit it. Whatever the case may be. A professor by the name of Owen Anderson, a producer, Carl, we should reach out. I want to hear this story. Is suing Arizona State University over a course for faculty required DEI. He's saying that violates state law. The ASU Inclusive Communities course includes the concepts of white fragility and white privilege and ways to critique whiteness. Everyone should sue every organization that has a DEI office and force DEI classes everywhere. Sue the state of Indiana, sue this university, sue your school district, sue your employer. Do not ever stop. All DEI is bigotry. It is out in the open and clear. Everything we've been saying for years is completely and totally true. Sue everyone. Now, I know what you're saying. Why is it we keep making these lawyers money? We have to deal with one subject at a time, people. Sue the state. Sue your employer. Sue the university. Sue on behalf of your kids. Sue because you're upset of what it's done to your kid. Do not stop. Make the madness stop. Be normal, rational people and tell these bigots that they have to go get real jobs. That's right. I said it. DEI is not a job one should be proud of. Dividing people, ripping people down, pushing the idea of oppressed oppressor, engaging in this Marxism that goes back to the conversation of the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. No, you shouldn't be proud of that. It's embarrassing. Why aren't you more embarrassed, dear Lord? Have you no shame? DEI practitioners have no shame. And since they have no shame and are unwilling to recognize the bigotry of their actions, sue them. Make it stop. But sometimes the people who participate in this are considered the woke. And I don't know if you can utilize woke in this way. Not everything can be a conversation of woke, as we were discussing yesterday. But sometimes when confronted, hilarity ensues. It's the popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. I got this from Travis in Flint. That was the account on X. This is fantastic. I sent it to your producer, Carl. We'll post it at WIBC.com. Sarah, get it up at TonyKatz.com as quickly as you can. So there are these people. This seems to be in Australia. And these people, two women, maybe a couple. And they have a sign on their home. And the sign reads, "We are proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the traditional owners of this land." I pronounce it wrong. Wurundjeri. W-U-R-U-N-D-J-E-R-I. Wurundjeri. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I apologize if I'm not. They are an Aboriginal Australian people who inhabited the area of Melbourne before the British started dropping off all their prisoners there. We are proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the traditional owners of this land. That's the sign they have. So someone got members of this tribe historically or whatever the case may be. They are in what looks like a traditional garb, possibly of the people of the Wurundjeri. And they knock on the door saying, "Hey, thanks. Can we have the house, please?" It's beautiful.
Hello.
Hello.
We've seen your mark here on the wall. We're the Wurundjeri people.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. We've seen the sign. Right.
All right.
See, we're a bit, we haven't got anywhere to stay, so we're thinking, you know, we might just stay here for that 1 or 2 months or something.
We saw your sign there and we thought, oh,
I don't know about that.
No, just us.
No, we won't be in much trouble.
How did you know about it?
With a sign.
We saw that sign there.
We wouldn't ask only for the sign.
Oh, yeah, it's a sign. Well, it's a sign there.
I know the sign. I don't know who put it up there, so.
So the women, they're like, we don't know who put it up. We don't know what's happening. Here are these five people like, hey, this is, you recognize it, you acknowledge it, great. Now, how about we get to take a nap? This is the classic. This is beautiful. All of these quote-unquote woke folk wouldn't give up anything. Acknowledge stolen land. First of all, can we be clear? All the land is stolen going back to the beginning of time. Nobody's special. Nobody did it better. Everything was stolen. Everything was stolen. It's the same conversation with slavery. Slavery is evil and awful and despicable and terrible. But it wasn't just white people in the new land doing it. There were slaves all over Africa, and there were black people selling black people into slavery. Their cousins, their uncles, their brothers, their sisters. Slavery is evil. If we're going to talk about history, we should talk about all of it. But when these people claim stolen land and we recognize it, they don't care. It's just some posturing nonsense. I don't think we should put up with posturing nonsense. A recognition of history? The good, the great, the bad, and the ugly? Absolutely. But just like they want doctors who are taking the oath, we understand that we're performing these services on stolen land. You know what? I don't want doctors caring about that. I want them fixing the broken leg. No wokeness in medicine, if you please. No wokeness anywhere. Confront it where it is. Oh, and on the DEI? Yeah, totally. Suit our asses off. That's awesome.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Lived up to the hype in every single way. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Incredible sight. Watching people downtown, the videos, WIBC has videos on the Facebook page. Just join, follow, like, whatever it is you're supposed to do there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The phone number, 317-239-9393. Just seeing people just hanging out on the steps of the monument, awesome. The amount of people that were at the track, like, I did not realize. CBS News was there. NBC News was there. Jim Cantore was there. Just being ridiculous. Poured milk over his head. People were nuts. Just partying it up. Very, very cool. I look forward to hearing about economic impact of the eclipse. And the weather was, sorry, yesterday was perfect. Nothing to change. Absolutely perfect. I only hope everybody had a ball. Hope they had an incredible time and spent all of their money. Every last bit of it. But even an eclipse is not enough to stop the crazy people. This, we discuss the cult of environmentalism. Michael Walsh, writing over at The Pipeline, the-pipeline.org. Michael Walsh is an exceptional writer. He wrote The Devil's Pleasure Palace. He wrote Fiery Angels. He wrote Last Stands. He edited the last book, Against the Great Reset, 18 Theses Contra the New World Order, which is an incredible, incredible journey. He's got a new one coming out. This piece that he wrote discusses what happens when scientists become cultists, especially when it comes to this green movement nonsense. These people are cultists. They're dangerous. They should be fought, and yet they are supported by liberal white women everywhere. Hey, liberal white women, I'm talking about. Hey, Carmel. I'm talking about you. Oh, don't get upset, Hamilton County. Talked about Boone County just an hour ago. I'm making my way around the horn, but I started with Boone and Hamilton, and I'll probably end there. But I see you. Hello, liberal white women, mostly on the west side. Hey, yes, you're the problem. This is a story about efforts in California to block out the sun.
My God, the sun.
What is it, Simon?
A large fiery ball at the center of our solar system, but that's not important now.
It is an experiment that is taking place. A stream of microscopic salt particles were launched into the sky off the deck of a decommissioned aircraft carrier in Alameda. This is San Francisco Bay. It's an experiment to limit global warming, as reported by Politico. The plan is to increase cloud cover to reflect more sunlight away from the Earth. These people are cultists and freaks, and they have absolutely no place in a civil society. They should not be allowed to walk around in public without a helmet. They're nuts. We're going to block out the sun. Because what could go wrong? We had an eclipse yesterday. We had 4 minutes of totality, and the temperature dropped between 8 and 10 degrees. 4 minutes. These people want to mess with the atmosphere to block out the sun. I ask again, what could go wrong? Can we please stop these cultist freaks? And for those people listening saying, Tony, why don't you take climate change seriously? Because you are cultist freaks, and I don't take you seriously. You're a danger to everyone around you. You should be on a list. How's that? I'm not the issue. I think sunshine is good and a fine source of vitamin D. You want to block out the sun. You're shooting salt particles into the air. At what moment do you start painting your face and dancing around in a circle? Well, Tony, that is very offensive to native peoples. sorry. Sorry, it's offensive. But it is just as accurate. This is praying to a force to make it rain. Now you're sending salt into the sky because you don't want the sun to touch your face. That makes you weird. That makes you dangerous. No one should vote for anything you believe in. You should be laughed out of rooms. You're weirdo freaks, and you need to be stopped. Happy to say so. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Making people believe there isn't enough space for trans women in sports is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Huh. Well, that's a statement. It's not coming from me. You guys have known me long enough. I would not say anything like that because that's crazy. That comes from the National Organization of Women. Women attacking women is a fantastic subject. And every time I see that subject come up, it is, in the anecdotal, it is a woman saying to me, why do women do this? Or women always do this all the time. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Oh, I'll be called a misogynist for this conversation, a sexist for this conversation. You can email me all of the hate mail. Send that to Jason Hammer at WIBC.com. I'll be sure to get it. I was at a conference over the weekend in Savannah, a fascinating kind of town. Savannah, the history and the squares and everything else. And, you know, I went to go see Forrest Gump's bench and it's not there anymore because someone tried to steal it. So I took a picture of where it was supposed to be. And then someone told me that Glenn Beck had it. I'm like, what do you mean Glenn Beck has the Forrest Gump bench? Maybe he does. I don't know. Dude's odd. He might have bought the bench. Meanwhile, that's not the story. I was there and talking to some people, and we were noticing that, and this happens very often, the women are dressed beautifully. Really, there was just an outsized number of women there that were just dressed up like you wouldn't believe. And maybe vacation, whatever the case may be. And then all the guys looked like schlubs. Oh, look, I have a polo shirt. Okay, I'm ready to go out. That's not the case, guys. Seriously, try an iron. Maybe something with buttons. And so we're like, this is so, it's always like this is so odd. And a couple of the women I was with were explaining that in their view, you see, the women aren't dressing up for the men. They're dressing up for other women. And I said, I don't even understand what that means. Women are dressing for other women. They notice what other women are wearing, and that is something that happens. And I said, huh, well, that's peculiar. But maybe it's true. I've never thought about it. How does that apply to other things? Then came this story, where the National Organization of Women, which has now deleted this post, weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Now, wait a second. Women having issues with other women. Women having a hard time making friends with other women. The concept of the quote-unquote catfight, that has nothing to do with men whatsoever, except for when men say, no, 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 don't you break this up! You let them go! That's men. That is men. Let's see this finish. One must be victorious. How is women standing up for women in sports patriarchy? Because the post shows a story from the AP, and it shows a picture of Riley Gaines, the swimmer who has been front and center in these subjects. You think Riley Gaines is the one weaponized against other women? No. She's the one pointing out that men are not women and they shouldn't be able to compete against women. We were talking about this earlier as the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, NAIA, I think I've got it right, has said that women compete against women and men compete against men, and that's the way it is. And now here's the National Organization of Women refusing to recognize that women are women and men are men, saying that if you oppose this, that you're just a puppet for the patriarchy. That's the beautiful thing about progressivism. It allows you to blame anybody except yourself. If you support women being marginalized and pushed out of sports, I think you hate women. And this is a great example of women hating women, and that's just weird.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Has come and gone, and it was worth it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It was absolutely worth the hype. The weather was perfect. The view for those of us in Central Indiana was stunning. The whole thing. Absolutely spectacular. And people came out from all over the globe, and they came to Central Indiana, and they went to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. By the way, we're like 47 days away from the Indy 500. Doug Bowles joins me right now, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They held a pretty big party for the Eclipse, and people showed up. Doug, good to talk to you. How many people came to the track for the Eclipse?
I think we had just slightly over 50,000. We're just trying to get through the bag count from yesterday, but a little over 50,000 people were there. And it was, you know, when we first announced this 6 years ago that we were going to do it, we had no idea. And even, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, we thought, maybe 10 or 15,000 people show up. So in Indiana turned out, as well as 33 different countries represented, as well as every state in the United States represented and are taking customers for that event. Crazy.
So you were when did you start realizing, holy cow, people are coming for this party?
Really right after Christmas, as the new year turned, we started realizing it was a bigger deal. But then in the last 10 days, as the forecast for Indiana started to look a lot better than forecasts around the rest of the country related to who was going to see the eclipse, numbers went crazy. We sold 2,600 tickets on Sunday. So it just kind of crazy how quickly people started buying tickets going into the last 10 days.
Talking to Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Were they on the infield? Were they in the stands? Where were people situated?
So we put everybody in the infield. So we had a lot of people on our spectator mounds, and then we had the Tower Terrace grandstands open, as well as the Gas Alley grandstands, the ones over the Gas Alley suites. But most of the people really just hung out in the plaza. They brought chairs. They watched the big screen in the plaza. And then at 2:15, we opened the racetrack up, and everybody went out on the racetrack from the front stretch down into turn one. And it was amazing to see the folks standing on the racetrack with their glasses on, looking up at the sun. It was a really neat moment watching people on the track.
So now this is come and gone, proving once again that the Speedway is a place to hang. 47 days, I'm right? 47 days away from the 108th running?
I was going to say good counting. Yeah, 47 days, which means we're about 2 weeks less than that for when we kick things off with the IndyCar Grand Prix. So it's coming right around the corner pretty quickly.
How are ticket sales going with the 108?
So ticket sales with the 108, they're going stronger than they've ever been. Last year was an amazing year, and you know, we are on the verge of a reserve seat sellout. So we'll see how that goes. If momentum keeps that way, I would not be surprised if we reach that.
And of course, you will hear that race right here on 93 WIBC. Doug Bowles is his name. He's the guy in the suit, in case you want to pick him out of the crowd. IndianapolisMotorSpeedway.com. Not too late. Get your tickets. Make it happen. Doug Bowles, I appreciate you taking the time. More is coming up. I'm Tony Katz.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The governor's race is getting a lot of attention. We are just a month away from primaries. Primary is May 7th. And it's not the only race we have. You're seeing movement in the 6th district, where Greg Pence decided not to run for re-election. Movement in the 3rd, because Congressman Jim Banks is running for Senate. Oh, that's right. We still have that race to go, which will be a much more interesting race, not in the primary side, but when it comes to a general election. Let's see who the Democrats actually run. Tony Katz, great to be with you. The 8th district has movement, but the 5th district has been the story. The 5th district has been the story because Congresswoman Victoria Spartz said she wasn't running for re-election, then decided to get back in the race. But none of those who had declared left the race. One of those people is Raju Chinthala, C-H-I-N-T-H-A-L-A. Raju, R-A-J-U, RajuForCongress.com. He joins me right now. You have spent time, of course, within the Republican Party circles and with the Hamilton County, working with the Hamilton County Republican Party. This has been something you've looked at before. Why are you running for Congress?
Tony, good morning. How are
Good
you?
Good morning to you.
Good to be with you. And my name is Raju Chinthala. I'm a legal immigrant, speech-language pathologist, businessman, community leader, political advocate, and more importantly, economic advisor for the state of Indiana. For the last 7 years I worked. And I also Hamilton County Republican Party treasurer for the last 7 years. I am dedicated to Republican Party for last 21 years. Not many candidates have done that. I have two master's degrees. One master's is in business administration, and one is in the master's in speech language pathology. I worked in Indiana for last 30 years. I have done many things, including healthcare, business, and economic advisor, that not many candidates can bring it to the table. But when I'm working at the state of Indiana, I travel all over the world, building global relationships for Indiana, bringing $24 billion of investment into Indiana and 100,000 jobs to Indiana. That impacted so much. Why I'm running for, as Tony asked me, I want to give back to this country. The country has given me so much in the last 30 years. I have a mission to develop the district, help the constituent, and make an impact in the state of Indiana as well as in the country. I am committed to defending constitutional rights, protecting the American dream, supporting small businesses, advocating for veterans, which is very important and dear to my heart, and reforming our immigration system. I, above all, I'm the only candidate saying and loud and clear, stop stealing from next generations.
So I want to take a moment and go back over something you just said, which was about immigration. You yourself, an immigrant, it is on your website, Raju, R-A-J-U, RajuForCongress.com, under the Issues tab. Here's what you write, and I'm quoting, I support a secure and controlled immigration system. We must enforce our existing immigration laws, secure our borders, and reform the legal immigration process to ensure national security. I also advocate, this is what you write, I also advocate for a fair and compassionate approach to addressing the status of undocumented immigrants already in the country while ensuring that the rule of law is upheld. The utilization of the term undocumented immigrants is something we usually hear from the Democratic side of the aisle. That said, what is it that you see as the parts of reform? What is your reform plan? And what does fair and compassionate mean to you?
That's a great question, Tony. I've been in this country for last 30 years. I've been hearing this undocumented since last 27 also years. Nothing has done. Many candidates, every 4 years, they say rhetoric, deport 3 million undocumented immigrants. Every election cycle, we keep hearing the same thing. Nothing happened. I don't talk bullshit. I talk the real issues, real things. I'm a guy who can get the things done. We must do something for them who have been here for 25 years in this country illegally. That is a stigma. That is the way I come. I'm all for shutting the border today. Shut the border. An open border is no border. I'm all for it. Illegal. I'm all for legal immigration. I came as a legal immigrant. It took me 16 years to get my citizenship in this country. I came in 1994 on H-1B visa, and then I applied for my green card, and I moved to Indiana in 1996, and I applied my citizenship. I got my first passport in 2010, and I voted in 2010. So that is a 16-year process. We must protect our border. We must stop illegal immigrants jumping into this country. We don't know who is coming into this country. Terrorists, drugs, so much going on. The national security threat is our southern border. We must stop that. I am a living proof of the American dream that can be achieved through lawful means. The rule of law should be upheld.
One of the things that you also discuss, and remind you, we're on radio talking to Raju Chinthala, a candidate for Congress in the 5th District, R-A-J-U, RajuForCongress.com. In your issues, you mentioned Social Security, and admittedly, not many people discuss Social Security for fear that it is the, as has long been described, the third rail of politics. You discuss committing to protecting Social Security for current and future generations, but we know that the money is not there as it is to do that. What is your plan or your conversation, your thoughts on ensuring a Social Security system lasts for another generation plus?
Yeah, Tonya, that's a very good point, and many people don't want to talk about the good things, what it benefits about our community. Many of us are not fortunate to life everybody lives. A lot of people depends on the Social Security because we pay the premium for that, and federal government has created this. And there should be a protection, and it has to be bipartisan. Problem with both the parties and both sides is fighting each other, not getting anything done in the last 24 years, I say. Whether it comes to Social Security, whether it's come to immigration, whether it's come to health care, whether it comes to national budget, it comes to any of those stuff, we keep on arguing either both sides, we go too far from both sides, and not anything get things done. and next generations are going to pay the price if we don't fix this in the next 20, 30 years.
But the argument of it needs to be fixed, I agree with. The question is how? Is it your theory that we should increase the retirement age? Is it your theory that we should reduce benefits? Is there something drastic, or do you see something that could be done that's a little more digestible to the American people?
Yeah, I mean, see, the Social Security also, we need to, first of all, we need to cut down wasteful expenditure across, and there is a fraud in every federal agency that goes on into billions of dollars that needs to be cut down. We need to allocate properly. Depends on how we look at the inflation in the next, I mean, I can't even talk about inflation right now, but it's a how we look at it, the next generation. What is that our founding fathers wanted us to do for our next generations to do it? We had to cut down the cost. We had to increase the retirement age as we are living for longer and longer. My oldest patient was 108 years old when I was working as a speech pathologist. Many of them are living above 100 nowadays. So we must also consider some of the age factor, conditions, and also the allocating certain budget that ensures for the next generations.
Raju Chinthala is his name. You can find his website, Raju, R-A-J-U, rajuforcongress.com. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 54. That's where we're at right now. I wish I had some fantastic story for you. Nope. Instead, I just got this. You know, nothing big, nothing fancy. This story says economists are increasingly uncertain about Fed rate cuts this year. Yeah, we know. We've been saying it here for months. And I know people are like, oh, you're ridiculous. Of course they're going to cut rates. Yeah, things are getting better. You know there are people out there saying it. This, according to the chief economist over at Mazars. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw less rate cuts and pushed more towards the end of the year. Really? Funny, not an economist, but I know a guy who said the same damn... Not going to yell. Not worth it. Nope. Just... We are not smarter. I need to remind people of this, although we may be smart people comparatively to other people. But we don't notice these things because we're smarter. We notice these things because we are more willing to accept reality. We see what's happening. We see the world the way it is, not the way we wish it was. And we say there's nothing about this inflation, there's nothing about these jobs reports and the levels of revision that they get that states to us this economy is in a better place, that this inflation is under control, that they've been able to slow down this economy to bring down interest rates. No part of that exists. None. And that's how we're able to look at these situations and say, there are going to be no rate cuts coming. even when the Secretary of Commerce, who was in China, Janet Yellen, is lecturing.
I believe inflation will continue to come down.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just wondering if the economy continues to hold up no matter what happens on the Fed.
I think we've got a good, strong economy. We've got very strong domestic demand. Consumers are holding up. Some low-income consumers are perhaps exhausting their buffers of saving that they built up during the pandemic. We're seeing a little bit more distress at the household level there. But generally, households are in very good financial shape. Our financial system is generally quite strong. Things can always happen. There's always recession risk. Geopolitical developments could create risk to our economy. But I think we've got a good, strong economy that's on a solid track.
You have credit card debt at a high. You have defaults that are growing. It's nice to hear you say anything can happen. Yeah. China's in recession. Europe's in recession. Of course it's possible. You want to keep telling me things are strong. This is the same person who told us that inflation was transitory. You know, it's going to go away so quickly. You're worried about nothing. You believe inflation will continue to come down? That's great. You keep doing that. We will keep our powder dry. We'll keep our cash on hand. And we still won't be able to invest in our businesses or other opportunities because we don't know which way things are going to turn. Meanwhile, the market continues to go up. So don't take investment advice from me. Just recognize that the rate cuts are absolutely not going to come. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It's a really interesting piece over at Free Press, thefp.com. It's about Yuri Berliner. And I can't say that I'm familiar with his work. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Here's the headline. I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. That's interesting. And part of his argument is we in no way, shape, or form at NPR are talking to America. We used to. There was a moment where we did. We don't talk to America. We talk to coastal elites in coastal cities. And we in no way actually look to have an exchange and engaging of an ideas. To quote the piece, an open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR. And now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. It's amazing. Who was the professor, Carl, you'll know, producer Carl, know, the professor from Evergreen who got fired, Brett, what's his name?
Don't remember.
Look it up. I mean, he engages the same conversations. All he was trying to do was talk. And then, of course, the university set put him down. This is the problem in the university situation where the inmates run the asylum. University students must be told from the beginning that they have a lot to learn and they don't get to dictate policy. This is what makes the University of Chicago and the University of Chicago letter so incredibly important. Where the University of Chicago said, listen carefully and closely. We're a place of free speech. You have a nice day. This was, I mean, it was sent to the students, welcome and congratulations on your acceptance to the college at the University of Chicago. And it continues on, once here you will discover that one of the University of Chicago's defining characteristics is our commitment to freedom of inquiry and expression. This is captured in the university's faculty report on freedom of expression. Members of our community are encouraged to speak, write, listen, challenge, and learn without fear of censorship. Civility and mutual respect are vital to all of us, and freedom of expression does not mean the freedom to harass or threaten others. You will find that we expect members of our community to be engaged in rigorous debate, discussion, and even disagreement. At times, this may challenge you and even cause discomfort. Yeah. And good. Oh, they got chastised for this. How dare they? I mean, how dare they? This is exactly the way it should be. But that's not what universities do. IU has failed and a host of failed. I hear much less about this failure on the campus of Purdue, although it is certainly something that should be watched on all campuses. Right now, IU is doing something kind of amazing. There is a no confidence vote scheduled against President Pamela Whitten on April 16th. What's interesting here is that the no confidence vote is about Pamela Whitten, as this is how it describes it. The petition detailed a number of controversies in the last year, such as the potential severing of the Kinsey Institute, which has long been a conversation, the cancellation of a Palestinian artist's exhibition, the unusual suspension of a tenured professor, and failure to stand against Indiana's legislature. So Kinsey Institute aside, all of these things are you're not being leftist enough. The Palestinian artist who was, I believe, also somebody who was calling for genocide. So there was that issue there, and you can agree or disagree with it. I'm not so much a fan of banning people. The unusual suspension of a tenured professor. That's because a student group wanted to have a meeting, which was a meeting, of course, that pushes the radical ideology of them Jews are the problem, and lied about what the meeting was for to be able to reserve space. It was a violation of the rules within IU. Standing up against Indiana's legislature, you mean the legislature actually believes that free speech and rigorous debate should take place on a university? It's taking their money? You mean my money? Everything that they're pushing her on or saying that there should be a vote of no confidence on President Pamela Whitten is from the most progressive side. When I think the vote of no confidence should happen because a speaker was scheduled to speak at the Hillel there. Right? Jewish, call it a Jewish union, for lack of a better word. And there were so many credible death threats that they had to cancel. And IU didn't say, we're taking the money from the football program and the basketball program and putting in security to make sure that the speaker can be there, because nothing matters more to a university. You can live without a football program. You can live without a basketball program, especially this football program and this basketball program. I kid. I don't. But you can't live without free speech on a college campus. That's the way it goes. Pamela Whitten, who wouldn't at first recognize that Hamas is a terrorist organization and it should be called out as such, wanted to do the both sides-ism. No. No one calls for the vote of no confidence for those things. Only the most progressive things. That's unbelievable. And from what I hear, the thought is that it would be very unlikely that the no confidence vote goes through. That said, I don't know what's going to happen. And if President Whitten would like to speak about it, what's going on the campus and why she has made some of the decisions she has made, even including ones I very much disagree with, I'm right here and I'd be more than happy to have the conversation, whether it be the morning show or on Tony Katz today. But you understand that there is a group of students louder and louder every day who think that they're in charge and don't believe in free speech and don't believe others should have a say. They believe it. I'm still upset that I have not been invited to the IU campus to speak. I know I'm probably not big enough to cause some kind of kerfuffle, but I'll bring friends. I know some fancy folk. this piece from the FP.com. I'll put it up at TonyKatz.com so you can read it. I'll catch you guys at noon.